What is Idella Hansen's biggest complaint about her 50-year career as a female truck driver? Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Bowman, Editor-in-Chief of Supply Chain Brain, and this is the Supply Chain Brain Podcast. Idella Hansen got behind the wheel of a truck for the first time at the age of 11, and for the last 50 years, she's never looked back, except, of course, in her rearview mirrors. On this episode, I'm honored to have as my guest a pioneer and role model for women in commercial trucking. Now 75, she tells us about what life has been like on the road and how it's changed or not. She's joined on the show by Anne-Marie Michel, a renowned photographer who has created a book of portraits and stories about women truck drivers called, appropriately, Sisters of the Road. Both spoke to me from the Mid-America Trucking Show in Louisville, where they were winding up a nationwide tour featuring an all-female convoy and a rolling exhibit of Michel's photos as part of Women's History Month. And by the way, the answer to that question about Hansen's biggest beef? Bad coffee. Here's my conversation with Idella Hansen and Anne-Marie Michel. Idella Hansen, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm proud to be here. Thank you for having me.
And Anne-Marie Michel, welcome as well.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Idella, a little background from you, please. Where were you born?
Long Beach, California.
How did you end up behind the wheel of a truck the very first time?
I had learned to drive when I was 11. A 90-year-old neighbor taught me how to drive his 41 Chrysler. And about 18, I managed to fall into a family that had a bulk plant, a gas distribution plant. And I got in their little distribution tanker and started driving. Just like that, I taught myself everything I know.
What age, Adela, did you start officially?
18. Illegally, not officially, illegally.
Yeah, I was going to say, even now, 18-year-olds getting a commercial driver's license is an issue still.
Back then, they didn't have commercial licenses. Oh. If your name was on the title of the vehicle, you could drive. And if it wasn't, all you had to have was a chauffeur's license, and that was an extra $5 down at the Department of Motor Vehicles.
So what were you hauling again?
I was initially at 18... For two, 3 years there, I distributed gas to gas stations, to our own gas station. They owned the bulk plant and did wet hose equipment out at job sites.
So were you driving a tanker truck?
A small tanker truck, what they call a bulk plant truck. So it wasn't a tractor trailer. It was just a truck and with a gas engine and a 5-speed transmission with a 2-speed rear end.
So was this like a magical moment for you? Did you know immediately that this is what you wanted to do with your life? Or was it more of a gradual thing that you just sort of, as you say, fell into?
Yeah, I knew that. Even my father said when I started driving at 11 years old down to Orange County for the gentleman next door, that driving was my passion. Now, as far as driving tractor trailer, no. But once I got into the gasoline tanker and then come back to Arkansas and my husband bought a rock bucket and a cab over international, I knew what I wanted to do.
So at that point, you took on the big rigs, right? The big 18-wheelers?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. And I didn't have any teachers. My husband, of course, he could back up small trailers, but he didn't know anything either. In fact, actually, I taught him what he needed to know. So self-taught. Self-taught backing, self-taught shifting, just all self-taught.
Boy, that's something to imagine, being self-taught in something. There's no margin of error, really, if you make a mistake with an 18-wheeler backing up or going forward, right? But did you have any interesting moments, quote-unquote educational moments, where you learned how to do it right because you'd done something wrong?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Up on a ramp, up on a dumping ramp, up a hill, and there wasn't anything on each side, and I managed to split the protecting rail between the duals, and there wasn't anything at the end, and I'm steady trying to figure out how to get out of that one. Oh, yeah. Pull into a place thinking I could turn around and realize that I couldn't. I still do that. So
somehow, though, you got out of there, though.
I did. I did. I didn't fall off the ramp, but a lot of the guys that I work with locally, I got a pretty good razzing out of it.
Now, as you got into this business, did you get support from family, from friends, from other drivers? Or did you feel that there were people who kind of said, eh, you shouldn't be doing this, Idella?
Well, the first off was my dad. He wasn't too particularly crazy about that. But then at that point, he wasn't too crazy about me. As I gained into the rock hauling business up there, the guys that worked out of the quarry, I was useful. They could go out and get drunk the night before and get me to load their trucks for them in the morning. So that's where I learned how to back up short trailers coming in and out. And I was making $5 a pop. And, of course, back then that was pretty good money. Later on, the local guys, my husband was a mechanic, and he worked with these guys at the hauling chips and lumber and wood and stuff like that. And a little protective, yeah, I had more trouble out of their wives than I did them.
Mm.
They assumed a lot. And those very mm-hmm. people that gave me trouble back then are some of my best friends now. Had to be careful where I stopped and who I talked to. But again, a small community, and when I started pulling flatbed, I had a lot of help, a lot of people teaching me. I wouldn't let them do it for me, and I just kept falling into the next thing and the next thing. The one thing I am very proud of is I've never applied for a job. They've always come to me.
Over the years, it sounds like you've hauled quite a wide variety of stuff. Is that the case, or did you settle down over the years into like a particular type of freight that you'd be moving and a particular type of rig that you'd be driving?
As the years went on, I bought in 2000, after I did a stint at Prescott Light, USI Lighting, and drove what they had, I bought my own truck, and it wasn't my first truck to buy, and it wasn't my first company, but at that time I was single. Van freight and still flatbed, and things just did a lot of job sites, construction. And I don't know about settling into thing. I would say I did short wood, did local work because my girls were in school. I have fallen into a rut in the last 11 years at the job I'm at now, which I'm a company driver and very proud of it. But I bring my values with me from being an owner-operator and having businesses and contracts. So I bring those values with me, and I believe I'm an asset.
Having been both an owner-operator and a company driver, which do you prefer?
Right now, at 74 years old, company driver, baby, company driver. I park it at the shop and go home. I don't have to turn any nuts or get greasy anymore or change tires, which I have.
Now, woman or man, one of the hardest things about long-haul trucking has been how many days at a time you spend away from home. You say you had girls, you were raising kids. I mean, not just because you were a woman, but because you were a parent. How did you get through that, and how tough was that in all those years?
Therein lies the crux, because only did a minor amount of over the road. At that time, I stayed not only regionally, but I stayed locally. Most of my runs were 50, 60 miles and back, so I was home every night and on the weekends. And until I took the job just before this one, 6 months with that one and this job, I was home every weekend. So I had a home life and a community life, and of course, at my age, many, many years. So when I went to work for this particular company, being gone 4 weeks was really stressful because I'd never done that before, other than once in a while throughout my career. I've always hauled the manufacturer's product or did construction, so I wasn't over the road until I took this high-security job. I mean, I had been to California and New York City with Prescott Light and all over, but until I took this particular job, being gone several weeks in a row wasn't what I did.
You have a sleeper cab?
Oh, yeah. The only truck I ever had that didn't have a sleeper was my Dodge Ram that my husband and I built to haul chips locally. Otherwise, I've always had a sleeper of some sort. Built a show truck in 2000 or painted a show truck in 2000, and that particular truck is still going up and down the road.
Idella, what do you like most about this business?
I have as much contact with the outside people as I want. When I get in that seat, if I want to be social, of course, now we have Facebook and social media. If I want to be by myself, I can be by myself. So I have as much contact with the outside world as I want, and I'm outside without being out in the weather. Don't like being inside buildings. I don't like being folded up next to the phone, but I have the best of both worlds when I get in that seat. And when I sit in that seat, I know what I'm doing. I'm good at it, and I love it.
What do you like the least about it?
Bad coffee. I run team with my grandson now. We've been running team for 6 years, and I've been team at this company for 11, which was a new thing for me. At one of my jobs, we ran team maybe two or three times a year. But this was the first time that I ran team And that was an experience and a learning experience. But my co-drivers have learned that you don't stop and change drivers unless you're somewhere where I can get a cup of coffee. Otherwise, I'm really grouchy.
Plus, if you're running team, that other member of your team better be someone over long periods of time, right?
For the past 6 years, I've run team with my grandson. I've been at IBI for almost 11 years now, and I started out with my partner, John Smith, and I've known that man for 31 years. He is still at IBI, and he runs team with his grandson, and I run team with my grandson.
Anne-Marie, Michelle, let me bring you in on this, please. You, as a professional photographer, have been working on the Sisters of the Road photo book for a few years now, it seems. Tell me about the project and its genesis. What got you interested?
Well, I guess this is one of those amazing projects that's just like grown legs of its own and just snowballed into this much bigger thing than I ever imagined it would have been. So when I actually got started on it, it was just a project just for me. It was a passion project, and I wanted to go and take pictures that meant something to me. I'd been doing commercial work, fashion photography, celebrity photography, red carpets, editorial stuff, all within that world of fashion and celebrity. And I just needed something that fed my soul rather than just my pocketbook, my project.
What was the lightning bolt that led you to this specific project? You could have gone in any number of different directions with that desire, and yet you did this.
Indeed. The spark for this project was inspired by my mother. I was living in Houston. I was in high school in Houston, and our family kind of broke down. My parents got divorced. My mom hadn't worked in 18 years. We were about to lose everything. And I have three sisters. She put my sisters and herself, she put us, sorry.
That's all right.
Really hard. Sorry, don't be looking at me.
I won't
So, yeah, my mom put my sisters and I in her Transair van, and we drove across country. She drove us to a new life. We built everything. It's that process of journeying and taking control of your life and driving it to where you want it to go. And that's what I found in these trucker women. And they're all such inspiring women. Once I started hearing their stories and seeing the parallels between my experiences and why they've gotten started in this industry and what they've come back from. There's incredible stories, everything from coming back from divorce, homelessness, bankruptcy, transitioning from a military life to a civilian life. It's all about this kind of rebuilding your life through trucking, kind of a true American dream.
How did you meet them, Anne-Marie? Did you just drive into truck stops and show up and introduce yourself? How did you approach them in the first place?
That was the tricky thing. So I live in London. My idea was that I got a flight to Orlando from London, and my plan is, okay, so I want to meet these truckers, and a good idea would be to sit in the truck stop. And I sat there for 3 days. No women came in. Lots of male truckers, no female truckers. On the third day, a woman trucker, I was out in my car, a woman trucker, I saw her coming out of the truck stop, so I'd missed her going in. I saw her get into her truck, and I ran over to her, waving my arms in the air, trying to get her attention. Of course, she drove right by the crazy woman, waving her hands in the air in the middle of a truck stop parking lot. So that's when I figured out I needed to take a different approach. I talked to all my friends and families and everyone I knew, and I eventually found someone through my sister's best friend's high school friend's neighbor that knew a trucker in Ohio. There was a woman. And so I drove to Ohio, and she was my first person. And then from there, I kind of gained trust in the community, and I found more through Facebook. Real Women in Trucking is an amazing point of contact for all these women, and such amazing women within that. So loads of women's groups, Facebook, Instagram, everything you can think of.
Idella, are you part of such a thing, part of a whole network of women truck drivers?
Oh, absolutely. When she got connected with Real Women in Trucking, and our president, Desiree Wood, put it out there, and Anne-Marie outlined what she wanted to do, we all got on board and have intended to make it successful and put a couple of meetings together to work with Anne-Marie, and it has been awesome. Mm-hmm. She has done us a huge justice and very much favored us and put us in a good light. A lot of times we don't look so good, but she made us look good.
I just had to capture it in front of me. Huh?
Yeah. What did you learn about women truck drivers that surprised you? What stereotypes were shattered? Just what did you come away with that was different from what you anticipated you would learn when you first approached this whole project?
I suppose when I started, I'd never met a woman trucker. I'd never met a trucker. So I had no idea. I didn't think they were going to be as open with me. I didn't think they would be as amazing and inspiring and just the resilience of these women. They're all really, really incredible people with individual stories. And I think that's kind of what surprised me most. I wasn't expecting such incredible people I would meet.
Well, that kind of leads to the question, Anne-Marie, of how you see yourself as a photographer in the first place, what you hope to capture in your work. Do you see yourself as a portrait artist, a documentarian, a social advocate, a storyteller? What kind of photographer are you?
I think a pinch of all of the above. I'm really interested in the person, first and foremost. I always start, my process is to interview the person first, talk to them. I hear their bit of life story. They hear a bit of mine. It's kind of a collaboration. We actually talk to each other. And then from there, I photograph them, but with that in mind. I like the photograph to, I guess, mirror the person, not just me constructing something that has no meaning for that individual. So I guess that's my piece. Of course, it is a bit of documentary. It is storytelling. It is a portrait. There's some landscapes within the book, too. The landscapes they travel. It's, of course, alongside their stories and their own words. This is very much 50-50. It's their project as much as it is mine.
Idella, with the exception of your distaste for bad coffee, you don't sound like much of a complainer to me. But even that being the case, I'm just wondering, in your years of doing this job as a woman, did you feel unsafe from time to time? Did you have problems with facilities and amenities at truck stops that were inadequate for women? Were you dealing with pay disparity? I mean, you must have some beefs over the years with what it was like just to be a woman in this business.
When I first started out, definitely. The smaller truck stops, the mom and pops, you'd step in and there would be one shower or a locker room and nothing available for the women. Walk in and the restaurant would say truckers only to be questioned when I walked in. Oh, this is only for drivers. I have had instances, Red River Valley Armory, and I pulled in there and the gentleman checked in and he says, well, I need the driver of the truck. I look at him and I said, who just drove in? Well, I need the real driver of the truck. I said, well, I'm sorry. I'm the only person here. I own the truck. He says, yeah, but I need the person, the guy that drives the truck. And I said, well, we're out of luck, buddy. Many instances like that, especially when I pulled flatbed, I would pull into a place and the load's all tied down and everything. Well, I don't have anybody to undo your straps for you. I don't remember asking. Instances like that over the years. And of course, we didn't have good communication. You had pay phones and then they came along and put them at the trucking tables in the truckers section of the truck stop, and I got questioned on that a couple of times. Have I ever felt unsafe? I'm too dumb to feel unsafe. I bail off into West Memphis and different situations that has caught me unaware. I have been attacked, but believe it or not, that was only 10 years ago. Harassment and violence knows no age, no gender, no color. It's unacceptable no matter what. Things have changed, and working like I did when I first started off, because I was working with people that from hometown I knew, being broke down on the road wasn't usually an issue. As we have gotten our cell phones and social media, I don't think the camaraderie has stopped. People have said, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. I think it's better. I think it's just changed its shirts and its hat. That's all.
Do you accept the role of pioneer, Idella, the role of attracting other women into this business who might also want to do this type of thing?
If you'd asked me that 20 years ago, I'd have to turn around and look behind me and say, who are you talking about? As it has progressed, like anything else, it just kind of has grown. When I first came up to this truck show 12 years ago, I was only looking for some seminars and information because I was working with one of my friends at her trucking company and I had my own trucking company and met a few people, and it's just snowballed since. And people like Anne-Marie have inspired me to do better. Becoming all the things that have happened to me is always surprised me. It's always surprising and appreciated. And I always tell people, when you get to be my age, you just become a poster child.
We can't end this conversation without mentioning that there's a truck stop in North Little Rock, Arkansas, named in your honor. Is that correct?
Yes, 2017. They went through a process and a very icon in the industry, Sandy Long, nominated me, and it went through all the processes, and they awarded me TA Petro Citizen of the Year in 2017. I think there's probably 40 of us in the United States now, so it was quite an honor.
Well, my congratulations on that.
Thank you. I enjoy working with people, so the charities I've gotten involved in, and then Desiree Wood from Real Women of Turkey come along and started Hearers and wanted to incorporate the organization and asked me to join, and everything's just snowballed from that, and sometimes my plate gets a little full.
Both of you are at the Mid-America Trucking Show in Louisville right now. I guess you've just wrapped up a nationwide tour of the Sisters of the Road project. Anne-Marie, where do you go from here with this? Will there be another tour? Will there be more publicity? Will you be going forward with more work on this project?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm shooting a few bits of video of moving portraits of women here and people that I meet. There's a possibility of some museum shows here in the USA. We'll see. And then who knows? Maybe another tour. That would be fun. What do you think, Idella?
Yeah, I'm ready to go back to Australia.
Yeah.
I want to go in person instead of being projected up on the side of a building.
Yeah, you got to see that. Idella was projected big on a wall in Australia, and it was amazing. We got to go do that in person, see it.
Well, let's hope that that happens. And I wish the both of you all the luck and congratulations in your career, Idella and Anne-Marie, for your fantastic project, which I will link to in the show notes to this episode. Thanks to both of you. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much for having us. I truly enjoyed it.
That was my conversation with truck driver Idella Hansen and photographer Anne-Marie Michelle, honoring the Sisters of the Road. We're online at www.supplychainbrain.com, where we post a new episode of this podcast for streaming or downloading every Friday. You can also read our Think Tank blog, watch thousands of videos, and access all of our other content, including the digital edition of our magazine. Look for us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Follow us on X at @scbrain. And also watch videos on our YouTube channel. You can also download or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Got any comments or suggestions on this or any episode? Email me at rbowman@supplychainbrain.com. Stay well, and see you next time.